Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, welcome to where are we, Conrad? This is Nightlight, right? I almost said the Emmys. I almost said welcome to the Emmys. It's been a lifelong dream of mine to host the Emmys. Welcome to Nightlight. This is, we are kicking off a new week here Monday night in downtown Green Bay, broadcasting statewide. Great to have you with us tonight. Wherever you are in our beautiful state on this gorgeous night, am I crazy or is this like, this is like sort of a hybrid summer fall? It just feels phenomenal.
I don't know. It's pretty hot.
You know what? That's true. I was outside for about 7 seconds today, so it wasn't too bad. I actually enjoyed it. But it is hot. When I got in the car at like 4 o'clock, it was very, what are they doing over here on Broadway? I literally sat on Broadway for about 20 minutes today, and I don't know Green Bay that well. So I saw some cars veering off this way and that. I didn't want to risk taking a shortcut and making things longer because I don't really know my way around that well, at least not on the side streets. So I almost called you for some guidance. Do you know your way around yet? You've lived here for a while.
It's a little different for me because I go a different way than you do.
Yeah, but still, I mean, do you feel like you have a grasp of the city now?
Yeah, okay. I would say kind of.
Kind of?
Right. Kind of.
All right, you'll get there. this is a kind of a, it's a full show, but we're doing something different tonight. Tell people what's going on at 7 o'clock, Conrad.
Well, it's the idea hour.
Yeah.
So that starts at 7. So we are doing a cool look back at some of our best interviews in the, you know.
Absolutely. And we'll have Mary Mack in the second hour. That was a very fun interview. Yes. I really enjoyed talking to her a few weeks ago.
So funny.
And Ian O'Connor, who wrote the book Out of the Darkness about Aaron Rodgers. Really fun interview. Sometimes you do an interview and you're like, I knew that would be a good interview, but it was even more insightful and just more interesting even than I thought. Ian was a great interview, and he's written like 4 bestsellers, so we're going to replay that interview as well in the second hour. So we'll be taking texts in the first hour. Well, we can take texts the whole show, but we'll read them in the first hour because the second hour will be sort of pre-recorded, if you will, but we'll be playing on this. Where can people hear that second hour? Because if we're not on the radio.
So you can go to
YouTube. Okay.
Civic Media WGBW or Twitter X Civic Media WGBW or Facebook Nightlight with Pete Chwaba or WGBW.
I've heard of all of those.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's fun. So we'll do that. And then Rob Thomas is here at 6:35. We're going to talk a little bit about the Emmys that took place last night. I wouldn't say any huge surprises, but we'll break all that down with Rob. Maybe one that you could argue was the Bear. People have issues with the Bear being in the comedy category, but I think it's kind of nitpicky. It is funny, but I don't know. I guess people have an argument, but Hacks was kind of surprised people and won Best Comedy Series. And our friend Rose Abdu was on the show a couple weeks ago as well. So we'll have to find time to play some of that interview at some point this week. Rose is so much fun to talk to. And there was a great picture when they won the award. The whole cast went up there, and Rose had the funniest expression on her face. It was pure elation. And her husband, John, posted it on Facebook today, and it was beautiful. I saw it on Yahoo, but we'll try to find a way to share that photo at some point tonight during the show. Maybe we can put that up on the stream, but Rob will be here. He is the CityCast Madison news editor now. No, newsletter editor. I'm sorry. So Rob has a new gig. He's no longer with the Capital Times. He had a great run there. And now he has kind of switched things up a little bit, probably pumped some new blood, so to speak. He's still reviewing movies and TV and very knowledgeable and all that. So we will look forward to talking to Rob at 6:35. And he saw Beetlejuice. Have you seen it yet, Conrad?
You know, I want to find time to see it because it does look like interesting, nostalgic
fun.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I just haven't got time yet. So
Yeah, you're still trying to find shortcuts around Green Bay. So
yeah,
I haven't seen it either. I mean, I saw the original, what was it, 30 years ago it came out? So I'm kind of like, I got to be in the right mood for a movie like that.
It's got to get more into the fall weather to go to it, I feel like.
Right. Closer to Halloween, maybe.
You got to wear a sweater when you go into it.
Well, you could do that anyway.
Well, it'll be a little warm.
A little warm. Just don't wear an undershirt.
Just be sweating in the theater.
Exactly. That doesn't look suspicious at a scary movie. So we do have a question tonight, though. And as advertised, since we are in the throes of the political season, there was another supposed, I guess there was an attempt on former President Donald Trump, or they arrested someone they thought might take a shot at him or whatever, but serious stuff. And I literally heard that here on Civic Media because they broke the story so fast. I was just like, what in the heck? So we are in a full-blown campaign here, folks. The debate happened last week, and we are asking the question tonight, what is your favorite political movie? Or what do you think the best political movie is? I know mine. It's All the President's Men. I think I've said that before on the show. I think we had a similar question at some point on the show, but I love that movie. I love the aesthetics of it, meeting in garages at night, getting the source, the deep throat source. Redford and Hoffman are great. Two guys working all through the night in the newsroom at the Washington Post, dimly lit, typing on a type. It's just a great movie. And based on a true story, obviously, the Watergate tapes. And so that's mine. And we'll find out what Rob's is. Do you have a favorite political movie, Conrad?
Does National Treasure 2 count?
Oh, boy.
No, actually,
Animal House counts more than National Treasure 2.
I actually do have an answer. It's called Swing Vote. Have you seen that with Kevin Costner?
I have not seen Swing Vote, no.
So his vote doesn't count at the end, like when they need to count him. And he is the last remaining vote. And he gets both political parties trying to persuade him to vote which way.
Yes, maybe I did see that. It's old, right?
Yeah, I think it's like 2008 or something around there.
Okay.
George Lopez is in it as well.
So it was good.
I really enjoyed that movie.
Nice.
I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, I might have to give that a rewatch too. I don't remember much about Swing Vote. Now I feel like I've seen it though, now that you say all that. So those are ours. What are yours? What are your favorite political movies? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. I also liked Vice. I thought that was great. Adam McKay directed that about Vice President Cheney. Satirical, but a good movie. I also liked Argo, the Ben Affleck directed thriller from like 2010. Very long movie, but very well directed. Not the biggest fan of Ben Affleck as an actor, but I do like his directing. I think he makes good films. And I saw The Instigators this weekend Matt Damon and Casey Affleck. I do like Casey Affleck more so as an actor than I do like Ben. Did you see The Instigators?
I did, and I really enjoyed that movie.
Okay, I was into it for about a half an hour.
Wait, I can see why.
Okay, what? What do you think you know what I'm going to say already?
Yeah,
go for it.
I want you to say it.
All right. I really liked how it started. They brought these guys together. It was a heist movie. I felt like it was kind of smart. And all of a sudden, that police chase where Casey Affleck's in the backseat cracking jokes, and the cops are flying over parking lots through police don't do that in chases anymore. They don't risk the lives of the general population. It just took me out of the movie. It was so, just over the top and not realistic. And it didn't have to go that direction. It was really, I liked the way it started. And the movie, I think I rented it from, what was it on? Apple?
It was on Apple TV.
And it was described as hilarious, action. Don't tell me it's hilarious. I'll decide that. Just say comedy. I get comedy as a genre and action. Don't tell me your movie's hilarious. Because first of all, it's not. It's not hilarious. It had some really nice moments, but it just got too crazy.
You know, my favorite moment though is when there was a guy in the back of that bank, the bank truck or
that
whatever
was good.
It's called.
Yes. Loved it.
That was so funny.
That was great.
And then after that, I could see where, yeah, it...
And when they took the shrink with them, and then she falls for just come on.
Well, you could just, I mean, you can see what's going to happen, you know, with the shrink. Yeah.
Where have we seen her before? She's a good actor.
I will go to the Google.
Go to the Google. I could go to the IMDb, but the Google might be faster. And then this is the anniversary too. This kind of took me down memory lane a little bit. And you're probably about this age too, K-Man, is the show Caillou. Do you remember that kid show?
Yep.
It launched on this day in 1997. And Caillou, aesthetically, kind of had a Charlie Brown type look. He was bald and he was a little brat. He was a whiny brat. I did not, when my son wanted to watch Caillou, I would be like, well, what about Disney? What about this? What about this? He'd go, Dad, I want to watch Caillou. So I'm like, all right, put Caillou on. Did you like Caillou?
I don't remember liking it, to be honest. I don't remember watching it.
Just was so whiny. I just felt like it was such a bad show.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right. So she was in Downsizing.
Yeah, that's not where I saw her, though.
The Whale.
Okay, maybe.
The Menu.
No.
Hmm.
What's her name?
NCIS.
No, I don't watch NCIS.
Okay,
I just typed it in. I'll find out during the break.
She does play a hilarious part in How I Met Your Mother. She's only in one episode, but she plays one of Ted's students in his architectural class. And he thought someone was playing a joke while doing attendance, and her name's Cook Poo.
of course, he
makes fun of the name, and the whole time she's going, here, and he doesn't hear that.
That's funny. Asteroid City, I saw her in.
Oh, okay.
Not a great movie.
I didn't see the full thing.
I didn't either. I turned it off, to be honest with you. I didn't. Oh, The Night Agent. She was the FBI director. No, I think the chief of staff of the president in the show called The Night Agent, which we talked about on this show. That's a good show. Netflix show. I recommend that. And she's very good in it. She plays an older. They gave her gray hair in that, though. I always like actors that are willing to do that. Okay, Rob Thomas is coming up at 6:35. We're talking political movies tonight. Let us know what your favorite political movie is. And we got some great fun planned for the second hour tonight. A couple all-star highlights from previous shows. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show, we have Matt Miller, Milwaukee entertainment critic. Always fun to talk to Matt. And then TV host and host of the Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel, will be here at 7:20 tomorrow night. So two really fun guests tomorrow. Tonight, Tito Jackson passed away, actually, today. I was sad. The Jackson 5, I grew up listening to the Jackson 5. When I was a kid, they were like, they kind of had their hits before I really followed music, but I absolutely loved their music. And I remember reading about them. Like, they all had these interesting quirks. Like, Tito Jackson was a really good guitar player. Jackie Jackson, I think, played for the Chicago White Sox for a while. Michael Jackson was Michael Jackson. Marlon went on and had his own, or Jermaine went on, had his own career. Then Randy joined the band when Mike left. So it was like, but they were like so tremendously talented. Like, the Jackson 5 were great as the Jackson 5. And then they had a couple dud albums. And then they started writing their own stuff. And they had like three hit albums in a row, which was really cool to see, because those Motown songwriters, some of them wrote amazing songs. But it's so cool when they kind of took over and sort of became masters of their own destiny. And Michael Jackson obviously went on to become Michael Jackson. But Tito Jackson passed away today at 70. Kind of sorry to hear that. And then, of course, it was Marco Polo's birthday today, Conrad. Do you know what Marco Polo was famous for?
Marco?
Polo. Correct. He created a backyard swimming pool game that stood the test of time for centuries. He died in 1324. This guy was ahead of the game. He said, get in the pool, kids. Close your eyes. When one of you says my first name, the last of you, the rest of you will say my last name. You never know what's going to stick. Stood the test of time. Pretty incredible. So what did you watch? You said you watched something this weekend.
Yeah, so I watched a new Netflix movie called Uglies.
Okay.
It stars Joey King. And basically, it's like futuristic, I think like 3000 feels like. And
it's a long way away.
So it so when you're young, you go to school to become one of the beautiful people in the society across the lake river or whatever. And when you become 16, you get a surgery that makes you beautiful and pretty much like mind dead. It's pretty much just like a party the whole time is what I understood. But then outside of it is people who didn't do the surgery, got away from it. That's called the smoke.
Wow.
So it's like a fight between those two. It gets into it. I don't want to spoil too much of it. I'd recommend it, though. I liked it.
Okay. Interesting. How'd you find that?
It was just on Netflix, one of the new movies.
Yeah. You can just, people overproduce themselves nowadays. Some of these people, and a lot of it is in politics. And I know they do it in Hollywood a lot with plastic surgery and, you know, liposuction, whatever it is. But a lot of politicians and their wives or their husbands get crazy plastic surgery. I saw a picture of Lara Trump, Eric's wife, from like 15 years ago. You'd never think it was the same person. Like, there is nothing remotely similar about her as to what she looks like now. And I always want to try to look better, but I don't know that I want to completely change my appearance because I feel like I'd look in the mirror and go, who's that dude? You know, see, it's so weird.
In that movie, they had a mirror displaying what they look like after the surgery.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to check that out.
I'm pretty sure it reviewed pretty well on Rotten Tomatoes, too.
Okay. Nice. Sherry from Horicon says, mine is All the President's Men, too. I'm with you, Sherry. Great film. Jim from Appleton says, my favorite political movie is Hail to the Chief. Yes, James Garner, Jack Lemmon, Dan Aykroyd, and a cast of thousands. Funny, funny movie. I need to revisit that. I remember seeing that, Jim, like probably 30 years ago, and I'd probably enjoy it a lot more now. Those are great ones. So I saw, and I want to talk about this with Rob. I don't know what to make of this show, The Tulsa King, with Sylvester Stallone. He plays a New York mob captain who moves to Tulsa, Oklahoma, or he's exiled, I guess you'd say, sets up shop there, trains all these local dudes to become his like capos or his soldiers or whatever, and kind of takes over in Oklahoma, takes over a weed business. Now he's going for the turbine business. And I just don't know what to make of it. I don't think I like it, but there are moments where I'm like, I don't know. I stick with it. But last night, season 1 of episode 2 premiered, and it seemed like it was about 20 minutes long. All right, we got a call. Conrad, who are we talking to?
Cindy from Appleton.
Oh, Cindy. How are you, Cindy?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Great to hear from you.
I have a few political movies. First one is the All the President's Men.
Yes.
The second one is with Cher, but I could not remember what it was. It's the one where they had the radioactive thing that went off. And
Silkwood.
I just can't remember. Silkwood, that was it.
Yeah.
And then the third one Dark Waters.
Oh, great movie. Wait, yep. Is that the Mark Ruffalo yep. one? Yes.
Yep, yep. That's the one where they talk about what happened in Virginia with all the
PFAS. Yeah.
Poisoning the water. Yep.
That's a great one. I forgot about that one. And I'll tell you, the Silkwood is a great movie, too. I forgot about that one, too. That's from, like, 1980. Very yep. nice. That's fantastic, Cindy. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great night.
You too, thanks.
Thank you. Cindy from Appleton. Always good to hear from Cindy. Cindy kind of has a radio voice. She's got that hard drive and like, I don't know. She's got a cool voice. I like her voice.
You know what that movie reminded me of? The Simpsons movie.
Which one? Oh, that's a political movie.
Right?
That's a great movie. Yeah, nice. I'm going to run that by Rob. We'll see what he says. We'll have to get Rob's approval on that. But Simpsons movie. Love it.
So I was actually wrong about the Uglies getting a good thing on Rotten Tomatoes.
Did it get panned?
Oh, it got a 17%.
Well, I mean, come on, put a positive spin.
But the audience score is a 55.
Yeah, I never know what to make of that. So it's obviously better. What's the one? I just saw this today, and it got, I want, maybe it was Instigators, or it got like a 75% from critics and a 75% from audience. It was like, you see that every once in a while. And then when you see the ratings that are high, like they get 95% from critics, but like 41% of the audiences, you know, they made some artistic turn at the end and audiences hated it. But I kind of seek that out. I like not knowing what is going to happen at the end. I love that stuff. So great texts so far. Steve checks in. Oh, Conrad's dad checking in. Political movies. Relaxed on might be a typo. Is Dave? Yes, that's a Kevin Klein. Very funny movie. Great pull, Steve. And the serious one is Lincoln by Steven Spielberg. Yeah, starring Daniel Day-Lewis. Who talked like this? That's how he interpreted Lincoln's voice. I guess Lincoln had a very high voice. You wouldn't expect that of him, too, because he looked kind of like this ominous 6'12" guy, you know. But those are great ones, Steve. Thank you for checking in. What is your favorite political movie? We'll be reading texts till 7 o'clock tonight. And then we go best of with some classic interviews in the second hour. Rob Thomas is coming up next. We're going to talk about the Emmys, Rebel Ridge, Beetlejuice, and the Instigators, all kinds of stuff coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sing aloud because we want to make a crowd. Yeah. Touch your hand and sing a song so pure. Salvation means.
Tell me, can you feel it?
Cindy's contributions. She also added Barbie. She called back to tell us Barbie is one of her favorite political movies. And I will totally accept that. And Conrad reminded me that the Simpsons movie is political. That is, I love the Simpsons movie. And it's one of those movies I saw right from the get-go, like old school, that I knew I was going to love. Because Ralph Wiggum was on the 20th Century Fox thing going, I knew I was going to love it. That's a great one. I would say after all the President's Men, the Simpsons movie is probably my favorite political movie. All right. So we have kind of an abbreviated live show. We got some great bits in the second hour, though. Mary Mack, comedian, will be here, and Ian O'Connor talking about his book, Out of the Darkness, about Aaron Rodgers. And Mary Mack is so funny. And she's one of Wisconsin's very own, as is our next guest. Rob Thomas joins us. He is the newsletter editor at CityCast Madison, enjoying his new gig after years and years at the Capital Times. Great to have him on the show, as always. Rob, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. How is how's the new gig?
It's great. Yeah, I was at Cap Times for 25 years.
Wow, that's a great.
I love
run.
That place, and I love. I mean, I love the people there, but you know. Time to maybe try something different, and this opportunity came up with CityCast Madison, which is sort of a combo podcast and daily newsletter.
Okay,
and so I'm kind of doing the same thing, but somewhat different, learning a lot of new things, and I'm really enjoying it.
That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear that. And you, is it kind of one of those things, Rob, where you get to retire? And then it's like a bonus gig, like sometimes what teachers do or doctors or something like.
No, I don't have like this cushy pension I'm sitting on while I'm doing this.
Well, neither do hobby teachers job either, believe me.
Yeah, this isn't my. These aren't my Walmart greeter years. Yeah.
I didn't mean to insinuate that. Not at all. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You do you have a favorite political movie, Rob?
Well, the one that came. I mean, All the President's Men always comes to
mind.
But has anybody mentioned Long Shot with Seth Rogen and
I was going to say that. Yeah, that's such a good movie.
I don't think
it's fantastic. Like, generally one of the funniest comedies of the last 10 years. Really? And also a really good movie about politics, too.
Is that the one where Will Ferrell calls and the family's eating dinner and he leaves that really risque message about what he's going to do to his girlfriend and he thinks that's who he's talking to? And
no, that's pretty funny, too. That's called, like, what's it called? The Campaign?
Yes, with Zach Galifianakis. Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't even catch my breath. I was laughing so hard during that
scene.
Yeah,
that's a pretty funny movie, too.
Forgot about that.
Longshot's the one where Charlize Theron's running for president and she's having an affair Seth Rogen, which is, you know, the ultimate skeleton in your closet if you're Charlize Theron. And it's very funny. Like, it's really good start to finish.
Is the long shot the fact that it's going to be tough for her to become president or that she would ever have sex with Seth Rogen?
I think it's the latter. I think that's the real underdog.
That seems more improbable.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Rob, let's start with Beetlejuice. You said when we swapped texts earlier, you said you saw that. I have not seen it. I have to be honest. I'm going to have to be in the right mood to see that film. Not that I wouldn't like it, but I haven't seen the original in so long. What did you think of that? It reviewed well.
Yeah, it was a huge hit, which I think was kind of a surprise. I love the first one from 1988,
yeah.
I think.
Alan Baldwin.
Of course, Michael Keaton plays Beetlejuice, this trickster demon guy. You know, really one of Tim Burton's best films. And so I was quite nervous going in that this would be another one of those movies where they 35 years later try and get the old gang back together and everybody's lost their fastball. And it's not great. It's not the original by a country mile, but like it is pretty fun in spots. And the thing I liked was they didn't try and turn it into like a family friendly entertainment, like the new Ghostbusters movies. You know, the old ones were, you know, Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and were, you know, great jokes and stuff. And the new last two Ghostbusters are more like Spielberg movies. So they try and be, I think, family friendly. Whereas like this new Beetlejuice, like it's got kind of a wicked sense of humor.
Oh, cool.
Some stuff happens that I generally did not see coming, like some morbid stuff. And so, you know, like I said, it's not the first one. I kind of wish they don't do a third one, although made so much money they probably will.
Yeah,
but I feel like I got out of that better off than I thought I would.
Nice. All right, that's actually a great review. That's like not the first one, but yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So did you see the Emmys? Did you watch them? I mostly read about them today.
Okay, me too. I've been watching clips online and
okay
reading about it. I missed the broadcast last night. Yeah.
Overall thoughts so far?
You know, pretty happy. Like, I love Shogun, and that was the big winner last night.
Yeah,
huge. So I guess they're making a season two, although I'm not quite sure how they're going to do that without spoiling it, the way the first one ended, the first season ended. And I love that Hacks won Best Comedy, since
me
it
too
is actually a comedy, unlike The Bear, which I think is very funny in spots, but like,
yeah,
it's so weird that they, you know, put that in the comedy category, as dark as it gets.
Why is that? Like, what? I mean, it's not. Shogun is a drama for sure.
Yep.
You know, and The Bear is kind of a hybrid, I guess, but I was glad Hacks won too. I wasn't really surprised. Actually, we had Rose Abdu from Hacks on about 3 weeks ago. Conrad, can you post that picture so Rob can, this is such a great photo. This is Rose is on the far left and she's on the far left. And her face is just, it's pure elation.
Pure joy.
And exactly. And she's so great. We were so happy for her and the whole cast. And I love Jean Smart. I mean, it's hard not to root for her, you know?
Yeah. I mean, she's been so great for so long to see her get the spotlight like this. You know, quite honestly, I think at some level, they think any 30-minute show is a comedy and every 60-minute show is a drama. Like, I think really it's like, it should be best 30-minute show and best 60-minute show rather than comedy or drama.
Oh, that's a great, that's interesting. Yeah, Shogun had 25 Emmy nominations. I think that's a record for a first season show. It won best drama as well as best lead actor and actress. Where the actor, like, and without spoiling, they killed off a pretty big character in season one. And I don't understand how they're going to recover from that unless they do a prequel or something. And I have to be honest, Rob, and maybe we've talked about this. The acting is so great. The scenery is beautiful. It's a hypnotic show. I felt like nothing happened at the end. I was a little let down. I felt like I put in my time with 8 or 10 episodes, whatever it was, of subtitles to not get much in return.
Yeah, I think we did talk about this. It didn't wrap up. Like, it didn't tell a complete story when you really thought it was going to. It was kind of setting up a season two in a surprising way. Although, like you said, they do kill off, I'd say, the best character on the show.
She was great.
Would say that. Yeah, so how they're going to continue. I mean, I'm going to watch. There's no question I'm going to watch.
Right, but, same.
It's one of those shows, like, I don't see going for more than, say, 3 seasons, right? I mean, I don't know, but we'll see. We'll see. Plus, it must take so long to make. I mean, there's so many characters and so many locations. I think they're even going to try and shoot in Japan for season 2, I read somewhere. I mean, it's going to be truly like an epic production. Yeah.
Did the guy who played John Blackthorne, was he not considered a lead actor, or were there 2 lead actors in the show? Because I didn't see his name. He was great, too.
Cosmo Jarvis. He just has this great name. And
he does.
The actor. And I don't know. It's funny because if you watch the original Shogun from 1980 with Richard Chamberlain, like, he's definitely the main character of that.
Yeah.
And the new one, they really kind of shifted him to the side, I think, and made him, you thought he'd be the lead. He's more of a supporting character, I think. But there's just so many different things going on in that show. Like, there had to be at least 30 or 40 characters you're supposed to keep track of. I think probably any 4 or 5 of them could have been convincingly put up as lead.
So. Yeah, that's a great point. And it was a little confusing. You have to stick with it, because at first
it's very confusing.
It's like the 5 families, and they all had it was like, whose daughter is this now? And what?
Yep.
But it is worth sticking with. Like, I did like it. I really felt like I wanted something, a little bit more of a payoff at the end. And sure, I was like, boy, they better do a second season, because.
Yeah, well, you're going to get your wish.
Any other surprises or?
Well, there's some stuff I liked. Like, I really liked, like, I loved the last season of Fargo, and I was really happy.
Oh, me too.
Lamorne Morris won for best supporting actor.
Because
there's so many kind of big performances on that season, like John Hamm and the guy from Kids in the Hall the guy with the eye patch. And Lamorne Morris has played this very decent cop who was caught in the middle of all this stuff. And he was great. So I was really happy that he won. And then I'm a big fan of Slow Horses, which has started its new season on Apple TV Plus. And I saw that, so their head writer is named Will Smith, no relation.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty funny. He during his acceptance speech, he was like, don't worry, I come in peace. I'm not going to hit anybody up here. I thought that was pretty good.
That's great.
Yeah. So there's nothing a huge surprise, I think. It's just funny. There's so many shows now. I mean, it's kind of funny that it's still like it was in the 80s and 90s when like one show dominates so many categories when you consider like how many shows are out there now.
I guess if I had a surprise, it would be that Shogun receives so many nominations. Like, I knew it would be well represented, but I thought like with The Morning Show and Three Body Problem and The Crown, it would be more dispersed. But yeah, they hammered it. My guest is Rob Thomas. He is the give me your new title again, Rob.
Newsletter editor. CityCast Matters.
CityCast Matters.
And I still got the Substack going at Not That Rob Thomas.
Oh, so. Check out the Substack too. Yeah, you know what? I didn't even look at your Substack today. I always do that before you come on, but I was so focused on the Emmys and that. But all right. So, man, I was happy about Jean Smart too. That was my biggest take. I was very happy about that. And I don't think I had any more Emmy questions for you. Oh, John Stewart and John Oliver. I have to tell you, John Stewart won for best talk show. And John Oliver, I think Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is one of the most brilliant shows I've ever seen. The way they take a topic and spend 20 minutes on it, and it is nonstop. They just crush it. It's funny. It's informative. They've obviously done the research. It's like funny journalism, you know?
Right. It's sort of, I sort of feel like they've perfected what Jon Stewart was trying to do with The Daily Show. I mean, not that I don't love Jon Stewart, but like he seemed to go kind of halfway towards that.
Yeah.
And then he did that Apple show, but that was more journalism than comedy by far. Like he tried right. to be more of a serious show. Whereas I think John Oliver really gets the balance just right. And like you said, yeah, he just like digs into a topic for 20, 25 minutes or something like that.
It's so funny. And I have to be honest, I love Jon Stewart. He's great at what he does. I can't watch him anymore. I know.
Oh, really?
I'm so, like, I just know his shtick, and I'm tired of the shtick. I love the points he makes. He's a very smart guy. He's very funny. He was a great stand-up. I've just watched him for so long, and I hate to say that, because I think he's a good guy, and I think he does good things, but it's hard for me to watch him.
I've liked him back on The Daily Show. Like I didn't like that Apple TV show. Like I said, I think he was being a little sanctimonious.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you saw that movie he directed that was set in a small town in Wisconsin. Do you remember that?
Oh,
I think it was during COVID, so it was only on streaming with Steve Carell. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a political satire. It was bad. It was real bad. And
I'm
happy he's back at Daily Show, even for and I think one day a week is like, that's enough. Like, I don't need him 4 days a week.
Okay.
The other guys on that show.
Right.
People on that show are really good. But like one day a week, it's nice to see him back there.
That's a great way to put it too. All right, Rob Thomas is here. He is the newsletter editor at CityCast Madison. Check out his Substack at Not Rob Thomas. Just Google it. It's great stuff. He is still writing about TV and movies and just does a great job. We'll be back with more with Rob. We're going to talk about some movies we saw this weekend. A Nightlight with Pete Schwabba here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is Florida. I don't even remember why I pulled that song. It's his birthday, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Happy birthday. I like the song a lot. I just kind of wanted to hear the song, even if it's not anybody's birthday. That's just a nice song to play. From the 414, 3 days, I'm sorry, 13 days and The King's Speech, both great films. Yeah, I like those a lot. Rob Thomas is here. Chiming in too with political movies, and we're talking to Rob movies. From the 818, Bridget says, Primary Colors is a great political movie, outstanding performances, and seems to capture what political life is really like. And then Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, a favorite political movie of mine is Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, another great one and a classic. And then he continues, this is your chance, Pete, to give us a little of your Jimmy Stewart. Rob, if I just attempt a quick Jimmy Stewart, you promise you won't laugh or spread this around?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm my lips are sealed.
This is just from Rear Window when he asks Grace Kelly. He doesn't want to get married. He kind of breaks her heart a little bit. And he decides, he just says, well, couldn't we sort of keep things, you know, sort of status quo? That's all
that's
I got.
Really
man.
Good. That's really
I never
good.
Did impressions. So you're welcome to chime in if you have one, or Conrad, if you want to do some Jimmy Stewart, bring it on.
I'm not going to go up against the master.
Oh, yeah,
there's
right.
no way.
That would be Rich Little, I think, not me.
That's true.
All right, Rob. So I watched some movies this weekend. Love to get your take, see what you watched. I saw Rebel Ridge, The Instigators, and I watched the first episode of the new season of Tulsa King. Have you seen any of those?
No, I really want to see Rebel Ridge. That looks awesome. And I, did you like it?
I did. We had a guest on a couple weeks ago named Roger Rittenhouse, who has a new book out called Big Text. And he's one of the big texts. And he's one of my, a very good friend of mine, very funny guy. And he told me he was watching that. I thought it was a series. So I started it and I didn't even look. And I'm like an hour and a half into this movie and I'm going, good Lord, how long? how long is this that I realized it was a movie, but yeah, it's like a smarter, not, yeah, it's like a smarter, more plausible Reacher, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. I heard, comparisons to like the first Rambo movie, the one that was sort of like a little more low key than when he got a little nuts. Speaking of Tulsa King, Stallone.
Right.
But yeah, that's a movie that like every once in a while there's a movie on Netflix that just comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, like, it's like the number one movie or something like that. I don't think anybody had heard about it.
Yeah.
Week before it came out, but it's supposed to be great. The clips I've seen online look like it just, I think the guy's name is Aaron Pierre, the guy who plays the hero.
He's playing Mufasa's voice right now in the prequel to The Lion King. That's like his biggest credit. I never even had seen this guy, I don't think. And I'm like, but he's so low key. And then you got Don Johnson, who is good. I don't know why we don't see more Don Johnson. I know he's getting up there, but he's still really good.
He looks great, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the first Knives Out movie, was really good. But yeah, he doesn't do that much. But I really want to see that. And how is The Instigators? Because that's another one that should be up my alley, I think.
You know, I have this theory about friends that make movies, and it almost seems like they get inside and it's, we're just hanging out. That's why we're doing this. Like the Ocean's movies and Brad Pitt and George Clooney. I think this has a little bit of that. And it's weird. I was saying at the beginning of the show, I'm not a huge fan of Ben Affleck as an actor, but I like his directing a lot. I am a fan of Casey Affleck as an actor. I like him better than Ben. And Matt Damon is really good in this. However, I feel like the first half hour, it kind of hooked me. I love a good heist film.
Yeah.
And then I won't say anything more. It's just got a little implausible, but it wasn't a bad watch. But that's kind of where it went off the rails a little bit. I thought it got a little too crazy, but that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I want to see as well. I'm kind of behind a little bit. I mean, at the theater, it's like, I swear there's like 3 to 4 horror movies opening every week now.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah. I think they may have overdone it. I think they may have overestimated how much appetite there is for horror movies out there.
Or
I think there is like 3 opening this week. Yeah.
This coming week?
Yeah. Okay. I looked at the list. Yeah.
Yeah. Speak No Evil, I know, came in second, like pulled in like 11 million. Like, yeah, they seem to like kind of be in that sweet spot where they make their money back quickly. So they'll keep making them. But I feel like a lot of them came out this summer for sure. Have you seen the David Bautista movie, The Killer's Game?
What is that? Like, I saw all I've seen is the poster, and it's one of those, sometimes there's a rule where like, if there's a lot of people on the poster, it's a bad sign. It's sort of like a Cannonball Run effect in a way. Cause you're like, if they're telling you, you know, they're like, maybe you'll like one of these people and you'll go see it.
There's Burt Reynolds, Jackie Gleason, Joan Rivers,
right.
Harry Belafonte. This movie has everybody. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's a great point.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that one kind of died at the box office. I thought actually it sounded okay. Like David Bautista is kind of likable. He's great in a bit role. And I thought, well, maybe he can carry a movie, but it did not review well, and it didn't do well. The review part, I'm not surprised. I thought it would do better than it did because it looked like a fun action comedy, and he, like, hires someone to kill him because he's dying, but then he finds out the killer's going after his ex-wife. Clerical error, I don't know.
Right. I did see the trailer.
Yeah.
Where they really all blur together these days.
Right. Yeah. But I didn't see it. I was just curious as to whether or not. What about Tulsa King, Rob? Did you watch any of that?
I've never seen that. No.
Okay.
It's another, darn it, what's the guy's name? Yellowstone and all.
Oh, yeah, Taylor Sheridan.
Right. That's one of his.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he can do a great show, and he can also just, like, churn out stuff because he's got a deal, you know?
Yep.
That's how I feel about
Turns
Taylor
out a
Sheridan.
Lot.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
We just have about a minute left, Rob. I'm sorry we're cut short tonight, but is there anything you saw that you were really digging or you could share?
I'm ashamed to admit this, but I went to a sneak preview of the new Transformers movie over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Which is animated. I had a pretty good time, I gotta say. I don't really like Transformers movies, but whenever I see the big ones, I'm like, this should be a cartoon. And now it's finally a cartoon. And it's pretty fun, actually. So, you know, the 9-year-old boys in the audience were really vibing on it with me. So
what about the 9-year-old boys at heart? Did they like the movie?
Could
they
recommend it? This one did. This one, find your toys in the basement and bring them out. Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, we'll do this again, Rob. I'll check in with you in a couple weeks and see where if you're caught up in any of these. And I'll check out Beetlejuice, too. We can have a better discussion about such things in the near future, I hope. And I'm glad your new gig is going well, buddy. It was good to catch up.
Thanks, Pete. I really appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon, Rob. Thanks so much. That is the always entertaining Rob Thomas. And glad to hear his new gig is going well. Okay, we've got pre-recorded content coming up next. Some really fun stuff involving Mary Mack and Ian O'Connor and his Aaron Rodgers book. That's all coming up next. Tomorrow night, Mike Siegel and Matt Miller are on the show. Full show tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us. Have a good night.